episode 14.
That's right. Episode 14. Very exciting this week, yes. Francisco. We've got Deborah DiGiovanni's going to pop in.
A great, great comic. She's originally from Canada. And, well, I seen her perform. I met her just performing here in L.A., and she's amazing. She's so funny. She's, like, one of the comics that I enjoy watching as a you know, when they're performing, you know. And she's so funny, very talented, has been doing comedy for a while in Canada and now in LA, and we had a great interview with her, right?
Yeah, it was fantastic fun. As you know, me too, being Canadian, so the way I know her is from that vague Canadian connection. We've got, you know, we've got a lot of mutual friends, and we Canadians, we all cross like ships in the night. We all get to know each other at Canadian specific shows in LA. Like, so when they do Canada Day at the Comedy Store, I'll be down there with Deborah. We'll be down there celebrating on behalf of Canada and stuff like that. So that's how we get to know each other. But yes, she is a killer on stage. She brings with her that energy. And you can feel that energy that just comes off her in the room before she's even gone on stage as well. And then she goes on stage and bring, you know how sometimes you feel off of comics, they have this great energy, and then when they go on stage, they have a different persona.
They're like, yeah, no, it's the same one.
And Deborah, she brings all that energy.
I feel good comics are like that. Like good comics, I feel like they're the same. You know, obviously you bring more energy when you're on stage, but you're kind of like the same off and on stage. And like, and one thing that she does, which I like, is like, which I don't like them, which when comic do this, but for her, I think it works for her, is that she brings sometimes her like notepad, you know, and
right,
like, and she goes, but she uses so well, like it works, like it's like, it's so like for her, it works perfectly, you know, like with other comics, I go like, if to me, I feel it's distracting.
Right. Yeah. For her, it adds to the performance. You mean?
Yes, like, yes.
Which is great. Yeah. I totally get what you're saying. Like, cause sometimes if you're going to do the notes and stuff, sometimes it looks contrived.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like, you didn't have to do this. You're doing it as a safety net kind of
thing. And she already knows her bits. I think she just used it. It's like, that's what I said. It's like, it works for her thing because, but she's not like looking and reading. She just goes like, well, you know. But it was so much fun talking to her because it's cool about doing this podcast that we learned so much about comics that we, like you said, we perform with them, but we don't talk to them on the shows as deep as we did. And we learned so much about like her childhood and like how she started doing comedy, the travels that she'd done. So it was very fun.
Yeah, I got to tell you, buddy, my favorite questions that we've been asking guests and stuff are my favorite one that is starting to be the one about their child. Whenever we ask about childhood travel and stuff, I'm really enjoying that because you find out, like, you know, you find out a lot of these work. It's really a working class holiday, isn't it? A lot of them are it was in a car. We crammed the whole family in a car and there we go. I'm really enjoying the answers that we're getting to those questions off of the comic.
So can't wait for you guys to listen to this interview, and then JJ, I mean, do you want to share something with the public that you know about your dating things?
No, I'm still going absolutely stir crazy, buddy, but yes, the dating, I am getting emails from the matchmaker dating company because I've tried a couple now. Yes, exactly. You shake your head. You shake your head accurately, so my friend.
I'm like, just wait a couple more months until you can just go back to the normal dating.
Yeah, it's gotta be because I mean, I would hope I hope the female population feels this way too, that it's just as much of a shit show. But you can't. I went on a speed dating thing and they weren't they weren't the matches I was promised.
That's so weird. Like it's like, so like you order, it's like going to a restaurant and you're like, hey, I want the steak, and they just bring you salmon. I'm like, no, but I want a steak. No, sorry, you're getting salmon.
Well, they were supposed to be women between the ages of 30 and 40. And they were, I don't think any of them were under 40, but I don't think any of them were under 50. So it was making me really really feel like. Wow. Like I was just spritzing. I just put on a show and then wait for the 5-minute speed date to be up. And then I'm like, all right, okay, next one. Oh, you're about 61 yourself. Okay, all right, here we go again.
Oh, my God. So, wow. So, yeah. I mean, well, the good thing is, like, if you start dating one of them, then you can get the vaccine earlier.
Oh, good. Yeah, you're right. Maybe my motivations need to be changed. I could be benefiting off of this. How is your loved up quarantine then? If you're not like, you're not like me, you're not out there looking for love. You're all loved up. Yeah. You got pets. You got love. I saw that you celebrated a 1-year anniversary. So what I meant to say was I saw that you celebrated an anniversary. Yeah. And it's your 4-year anniversary, man, which is, congratulations.
Thank you.
And especially if you can make having made it through quarantine, because.
Yeah, that I think it's a big thing. I mean, I think for any couple to get through. But I think it's lucky that we are already together or living together before they started, because I feel bad for the people that actually like started dating or get moved in together and then this happened, because that's a real like. Yeah. You know, to be together the whole time where you gotta like, where you just still getting to know each other and you gotta be like, oh, you left the, you know, you didn't make the bed again, you know, and I was, you know, it's like that passive aggressiveness. So
yeah,
I'm glad that we were past that before the quarantine started, you know?
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's very going to be very hard. Yeah. All these loved up couples are learning what they hate about each other over the course.
A lot. I think either if you made it, either you know that that's person for you or then that it's over, you know, pretty much like there's no in between like the pandemic, which is almost going to be over. And, but I think now it's time for us to, get into the nice, fun interview that we have with, Deborah DiGiovanni.
Yeah. And, can I just, to your point though, I just want to say people who are going to start relationships now, you know, you gotta be wary, because you can't find yourself in a relationship and then go, now what we need is the ultimate test. If only another quarantine period can arrive so that I can find out if this is true love or not.
Well, hopefully you don't get to that point, but yeah, I think, you know, you could also, you can just rent escape room and like rent it for a month and be like, well, let's try to, you know, do like a intensive quarantine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you're in a loved up relationship and you guys can't escape an escape room together, then maybe you need to assess your relationship.
Yeah. I don't think it's even escaping the room. It's like not killing each other. I think that's a big test.
That would be great. You go to an escape room, it's just supposed to be a novel night out, and then in the end the coordinator comes in and goes, what happened here? And it's just you standing bloody and go, god damn it, we couldn't figure out the puzzle on the wall over there, so I freaked out on her.
I'm not a big fan of escape room. I get it. But I do have to say also, before just to remind our listeners that to follow us at and all our social media, to subscribe to our YouTube channel, to follow us on Twitch, and to follow us and also on our personal social media as well. JJ.
I'm JJ Whitesnake on Twitch and on general social media, JJW on YouTube. But generally if you look up JJ Whitehead, you'll find me, and you'll often find me under JJ Whitesnake.
Whitesnake. Yeah. You can follow me on F Ramos Comedy on Instagram, on TikTok, which I've gotten a lot of followers on TikTok, and then on Twitter at Francisco Ramos, and then you can check what we have there coming up. You know, hopefully we can get some shows coming up soon. Yeah, so, you know, we can.
You guys are gonna notice too that we had like a lot of people who are watching it live now, which is a lot of fun. So if that's an option for you as well, you may enjoy it. You can join the people in the chat while we're live talking to these great comics, and this is exciting. So, so shall we throw it right now to the ladies and gentlemen? Here you go. Here's our conversation with Deborah DiGiovanni. It's working. We got ourselves a situation room.
Woo-hoo.
So allow me to introduce our guest for this week. As we said, we've got Deborah DiGiovanni.
Yes!
Hello. There she is.
Hello, everyone. I'm Deborah DiGiovanni.
Obviously so excited to be here. She just blew out her microphone with one with one scream. You have a terrified microphone in there going, oh, my God.
It doesn't take long. Yes. Hello. How are you?
Hello. How are you? How you been? How you been, Deborah?
I'm trying to watch on Twitch as well while I'm doing this.
Nice. It's like a 5-second delay if you watch, just so you know. Oh,
okay. Good to know.
Just so you know. Yeah. But so if you want to go back in the past and change it, you know.
I want to go and not blow up my mic.
Well, right? Deborah, thank you for joining us today. We're very excited for you to be here. We're big fans of you, obviously. We love your comedy. You're so funny. Every time I do a show with, like, if I do a show and Deborah's in the show, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is. I mean,
we have.
I mean, as comedy, and as comedy, as comedians, we know we rarely. I mean, for me personally, I rarely see other sets. But if Deborah's on the lineup, I'm going to watch that set.
Oh, that's...
Yeah.
You know, it's just so, like, it's so fun and you know, it's always so, you know, like, you take it a place that I'm like, oh, wow, I never thought about that.
Chaotic is the word. Yeah. Very good.
I've told you before as well, Deborah, that you're my brother and his wife's favorite comedian.
They're clever people.
Yeah, he's very fun. He was trying to... He was trying to tell me the other day because he was on the same team as you for some sort of comedy Olympics thing that was in Toronto many years ago.
Really?
Like, tell me more about this. He's like, yes, Deborah.
I need to know more about this too.
Yeah, he was like, Deborah was my team captain, I know nothing of this.
We better have won. That's all I care about. We better win.
I do believe he said you guys mopped the floor with the other team.
And that has iced
your position is his mind.
That's him. Does your brother do comedy?
He does not. So I don't have. He must have just. He doesn't do comedy. He's in medicine and stuff. He's in the health professions. So he must have been there for I don't know. I'll have to get him to fill me in even more.
Get more details after. Yeah.
But I do believe it was elements of comedy. But you were the only comedian there, and you took them under the wings and defeated the other team.
All right, go Deborah.
What's funny is that like he's you know like is his brother and is not you're not like JJ is not his favorite comic. You are.
Like
he could have been like, well, you and Deborah, but he's like, no,
exactly.
Just Deborah.
No. But JJ's top five, number four. But still,
top five. If I'm lucky. I got
top so, five
because the joy has spread to their children as well. So I've got a niece and nephew. I've got my brother and a sister-in-law and a niece and nephew. And when I come over, they're all like, did you bring Deborah? No, I guess you didn't. Did you? So,
boom.
All right. Are you at all as good as her yet?
Well, and we also got some fans right here. My gun is huge. Says, you know, you also he's also your his wife's favorite and mine. So
there you go. So
you like you seem to be a couple, like a comic for the couples.
I'm a good date. I think I'm a good date. Do you know what I mean? Coming to see me is a good date, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right.
I promote love. I make people romantic, apparently. Oh. I make people in the mood. Who knew?
Hell yeah, you do. It must be all your photos of your boyfriends on Instagram.
That's it.
You do have a lot of
boyfriends. It's amazing.
Listen, you know what? I have a ton of boyfriends. I've had 3 years of boyfriends weekly. But it's cute because a lot of people, you know, always like, oh my God, I love this so much. It's my favorite thing. But then there are some people that are always like, where do you meet all these men? I'm like, wait a minute. You know what I mean? There are the people that they answer too sincerely. I'm like, you know I'm joking, right? Yeah. Like, are you kidding me? And I've had, to date, I think it's four of the men respond that I say.
The actual guys? Oh, yes, what do they say?
They're just catalog guys, right?
like they're, a lot of them are Instagram models. Some of them are just like cute dudes, you know, that I find on Instagram. And honestly, I've had, there's a couple have been like, they're actual models. And one was a Canadian and I had no idea. And his wife follows me and found out. She's like, you made it to Deborah's. And then he writes me and he's excited. And then another guy was from like Finland and he found me and he was like, best press I've had in a while. And I was like, yeah. And then, it's usually the girlfriend or the sister or somebody of the man that comes and says, yeah. And so far, no one's bad. As of this moment, nobody's bad.
No, why?
You know what I mean? Yeah. Why would you, you know?
It's their big break. Could you imagine that? their big break is actually for you to find the advertisement that they did.
So, Deborah, when we get...
you're bigger than their big break.
That's it.
So have you sneak other guys there, like that are like actual boyfriends or people that you're going out with, like you throwing in there?
I want to, but I get nervous. I get shy too. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, so the real ones you don't want to share.
They're real ones I don't want to share. Because I am seeing someone right now and I keep going, I want to sneak it in and put like Deborah's real boyfriend and see if anyone knows.
No, but just don't say anything. Because yeah, it'd be cool to see like if people like actually like... Or just be like, oh, it's another Instagram model, you know?
I know it. I know. I wonder if maybe it'll, I don't know, make him famous. That'd be fun. Who knows?
That's awesome. But I by the way, and Warrior Chick Zeus, he says, love this lady already. She has an amazing interview. Yeah.
That's right. She does, man. Right, yeah. Shall I explain how it goes there for you, Deb? But also, before we do, because I am Canadian, but this is the first time that I have a Canadian where I don't... Because I... Tilsonburg?
Yeah.
Not a clue. I don't know where Tilsonburg... I've never have I been heard of Tilsonburg. So what am I missing here? What's...
Oh, my goodness. Nothing. Here's the thing, though. This is why you don't know is because...
Okay.
You're a West Coast boy. Am I right?
I'm a military kid, so I'm a coastal boy. I was on either coast all the time.
And then you spent most of like, even like my, like since I started doing comedy, I feel like you were in the UK for a really long time, right?
Yeah, very long time. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, if you are in East Coast Canada or like a Midwest Canada, like a middle of the country Canada, you know, Tilsonburg, because there was a gig there. There was one that they did once a year. Tilsonburg is Tobacco County. It's one of the, major areas in Canada that produces tobacco.
Wow.
Yay.
Who knew?
Killing people all the time. That's what I'm doing. And now, when I was growing up, it was about 7,000 people when I was there. Right. Yeah. And now it's a booming metropolis of nearly 15,000.
Oh, wow.
Wow. It's like, it's doubled in your lifetime.
It is on the rise, everybody. But yeah, no, very small little, you know, so I grew up small town girl, you know, that's
awesome.
How long did you stay there until?
When I graduated high school, I was like, see ya! I left. But you know, I have a twin sister, right? And she went to school close and then kind of kept going back and stuff. But I was like, the minute I moved out of my mom and dad's house, I have never gone back. I was like,
you're like, yeah, sister, yeah. Tilsonburg is yours. You take Tilsonburg. I'm taking the rest of the world.
I'm going to Toronto. Exactly. Yeah. So I moved, as fast as I could.
Right.
That's
on.
That's awesome. Well,
yeah, Debs. Well, okay. So awesome. All the way from Tilsonburg to here in Hollywood. We're down the road from each other, but we all have to be separate because of quarantine time. The way we're going to work it, it's simple. Like I told you briefly, Debs, we're concentrating on travel and the arts.
Yeah.
Basically, the first little section here, Francisco and I are going to throw six questions at you one at a time, and we're just looking for your quickest answer out of them. Basically, they're all going to be quick answerable questions.
Yeah.
We'll let everybody in the chat here too, if they have something to say, like, you know, weirdly enough, nobody's chimed in about Tilsonburg, but if they do hear something that they want to chat about, they can put it in there, and they know by now we'll get to those questions afterwards.
Okay.
And what we're going to do is we answer these quick fire questions, and after your short answers, then we'll circle back and we'll dig deeper into each of them.
Sounds
and we'll just have a laugh.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, I'll throw it over to my boy Francisco, and he'll chuck the first question at you.
All right. Let's do the first question. Okay. Deborah, in your amazing career, have you ever been stranded? Or And have you been stranded, and where have you been stranded?
Yeah, I have been one time. It was, no, a couple times, but the first one that jumped out at me is in Winnipeg, yeah. At the Winnipeg airport. You never want to be stranded in Winnipeg, and you definitely don't want to be stranded at the Winnipeg airport. It was just bad weather. Just one of those things, and you right. knew it. Like in my heart, I knew I wasn't getting on the flight. Like there was no way. We all arrived, and we were all kind of like, "Yeah, there's no way that's happening." And they did. I just did one of those, and every flight canceled. And I think I was only there. Yeah, just that moment. It was. I think I was there for, I want to say something like 16 hours. 16 hours. Oh God! And there was another terrible one too. This was when I was on tour with the Snowed In Boys. This is only a couple years ago, and I was stranded in Kelowna. British Columbia. I was there for 3 days. I was there for 3 days. Could not get out.
All right. We'll
be digging into that one in a second. Here's the second question. This is a theoretical question for you, Deb. A friend of yours, a really good friend of yours, has asked you to go on tour with them in an ideal location. Who is the friend and where are you going?
Oh, Beth Stelling and London.
Okay. Good. Okay. Nice. All right. Now, next question. What kind of travel did you do as a kid for family holidays?
Always anywhere we could drive to in our station wagon.
This is a very Canadian theme, I think. A lot of Canadians are like, we're getting in the car.
We never flew. There were 7 people in my family. If we could drive there under a day, we were going.
Okay.
Yeah, that tracks. It's down to me. Here's mine. Has an airline ever lost your luggage or lost anything important on a journey? And where were you going? Yeah. What pops in your mind? Where were you heading?
I was going on my first solo headline tour. First one, first day of the tour, lost my bags for 11 days. 11
no.
days.
So
for the first 11 days of my tour, I had 2 shirts, 2 pairs of underpants.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Okay, next question. What's your favorite recreational activity while on the road?
I like to honestly, it's always like the favorite diner or the coffee shop that, you know, like you either ask people or you look it up in their little, you know, week loose or whatever it is. I always just want to go to, because I'm obsessed with coffee, so I always want to know the best coffee shop, go in and get something stupid and expensive, and or just the best diner, best usually breakfast, right? So that's pretty much, you know. I want to say I go and I sightsee. No, it's usually just coffee and breakfast.
That always gives you something to talk to them about too. If you hit the real local diner that they all love, then you can go, what's up with that? And the final question of our speed round before we circle back is, what's the first big move you ever did for the sake of your comedy career? Like moving places.
Big move. It went from Toronto to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. And then also just to remind the people listening and watching this, that if you want to ask any questions to Deborah, you can write them in the chat and we'll get to them later after we go back.
Yeah, guys, fire away. Big guns, Mrs. Lady Guns too. If you guys are big fans, man, go ahead, hit her with a big cue.
Yeah, we have a lot of guns and these are arms. We're talking about we don't. This is not actual guns. These are just.
That's right. this will be a lot of fun. So we, as Francisco asked you that first question, of course, is whether or not you've ever been stranded. Which I mean, you mentioned You started with the Winnipeg, but then Kelowna. You said Kelowna.
That was worse. That was
3 days.
Dude, it was, and this was like recent. This was maybe like in the last 3 years.
Is this because of a snowstorm or something?
Yeah, it was. It shut down everything. Cause it's like, you know, in British Columbia, you know, it's not really known for snow until you get to a certain area. Then it's all like really big snowboarding area and big skiing area. And this is one of them. And it's, you know, small airport. Like you can walk the length of the airport in like 6 minutes. Do you know what I mean? Already it's like we're not doing like heavy jets. I was gonna go from Kelowna. I was gonna go from Kelowna to Vancouver. So that was it. So I was just trying to get to Vancouver. So it was it's a 3 hour flight.
You're like, I'm in the right province. You're in
it, no, 3 hour drive. Excuse me. It's like a 90, maybe not even 70 minute flight and a 3 hour drive. So that always makes it worse. Do you know what I mean?
Like if well, you're like, flight,
and it's like, yeah, and you're like from LA to New York, you're like, well, you know, but the one where you're just like, I could have driven. Do you know what I mean? It just makes you sick. So that happened, and they canceled everything. And I was touring with three other guys, and it was literally one of those things of like, okay, bye. Board their planes, just like bye, and then they all leave, and then it just goes. The rest of the flights, we've all been grounded. I was like, I was alone with it. They all left, and I was just like, oh my god. And I had been talking to a friend of mine, Paul Meyerhog, who I adore, and he had just said to me he was meeting his girl in Vancouver, and he was like, we should drive. And I was just, and then we waited too long to make that decision, and because then it was 3 days, and it was so bad that eventually then they shut roads. Like then it was like,
no
buses, because that everyone started to do that round of like I'm just like, oh God, let's get on a bus, whatever. And then I phoned the guys and I was like, I'm stranded. And luckily in that part of British Columbia, we had a hotel sponsor. So they were like, come over, we'll get you a room. And I was like, thank you. I went, but the thing is, it was one that was under construction. So one of the rooms, they were like, it's under construction, but it'll be fine. No heat.
Those are always the ones they give to comics. Those are always
they were
the
like,
ones.
Yeah, they're like, well, it's, you know, you've got a roof over your head. And I was like, but it was freezing cold.
Yeah, but it's freezing.
It's freezing cold. I stayed warm with my hair dryer.
Oh, really?
Hair drying the bed, blow drying the bed. Get it.
And you did that for 3 days?
I did it for two nights. And then on the third day, I was able to go.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. It was awful.
That's horrendous. I've had the snow. I got stranded in Montreal once in a snowy airport, freezing my ass off all night.
Yeah.
Here in LA, you know, you talk about the patience thing, because I was on a flight to LA and it got redirected for a reason they wouldn't tell us. So we're already shitting ourselves when they go, sorry folks, we're not going to land in Los Angeles. We're redirected. So they only got redirected to Ontario, which for Canadians, any Canadians listening, yes, there is an Ontario here in California as well. And it's only like, it's like, what do you think? It's like an hour away or something? That was a hard call. So we got stranded in Ontario now and we didn't know what was up. And I got a car. So I recruited two people. We got off the plane and we got a car and did the drive. And then I found out from somebody who waited on the plane that we kind of arrived back in LA at the same time.
If I'd just had the patience to
wait another 20 minutes. But it looked like we were going to be there forever.
Sometimes it's just taking control, though. Sometimes it's just the taking
control. Yeah, you got to make a decision.
That makes you feel better.
But sometimes it's like it's where you can't, like you said, like when you have like that little airport where there's nowhere to go. Like, because I got stuck in Kyrgyzstan. I was doing one of those military tours.
Yeah, the troops. Yeah.
It's not like I didn't get stuck. It's like it was our day to go back and we get to the airport and they're like, oh, sorry, no, there's no flight. Like, we missed the flight or there was no flight. And we're like, there's nobody here. This is just one flight back to Russia. Like, what do you mean? And of course, it's like, it's such a small airport. It's like, well, the next one is 3 days. So we had to wait 3 days on the base again, you know, back. And that's where I felt like it was like in prison. I was like going through the mess hall and talking to the guy. Like I shaved my head and started like just doing push-ups. I was like, I'm not getting out.
You're going to go romper stomper on them?
You gave yourself a tattoo with a knife and a pen.
Yeah. And they're like, you know, we're living in 3 days. He's like, yeah. We'll see.
But that's all. There's nothing worse though. Seeing all your friends dance, you're just like, oh. Terrible.
You must feel slightly lucky that the hotel came through, like the hotel people, because did that feel stressful at first? You're like, we are sponsored by a hotel chain, because sometimes even when you're sponsored, they don't care.
Oh no, because have you ever had? I've never had to.
Have you slept in an airport? Oh, me neither.
I've never had to sleep overnight in an airport, so that's like already like.
I don't. I would refuse to do it. I'd be like, at that point, it's like, I'm like, this is like, okay, I become a homeless person.
Yes, that's it. But I think
you become a homeless person waiting for a $500 flight.
Oh, God, yeah, please. But I think it was a situation, though, like a lot of the people that were waiting for flights were from Kelowna. So they all just went, do you know what I mean? So it's like,
oh, they just go back to there. Yeah.
Okay, for them. I think
there's only like two hotels in that whole, you know, city.
Oh, man. Yeah. And what'd you do in those 2 days besides like warming yourself up?
It was so cold and there was so much snow, like watch TV. You know what I mean? It was just boring. Just
as long as they give me a food chit, want some free food. If you get a little,
give me a breakfast at least. I did. I got free breakfast. But anyway.
Oh, that's good. Well, at least they came through a little bit. Besides that.
It doesn't make it better, does it?
No, I was going back to LA too, so it was like Vancouver to LA, and it was just like, get me out of here, snow.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, man. This is a really fun answer. The next question was, I asked you about a friend, and you've been asked to go on a tour immediately, and where are you going and stuff. So I don't know Beth Stelling personally. I've met her out at the clubs here and there, but she seems lovely. So you chose Beth in London. Why did those?
That's one of those ones that you just go say the first name that comes to your head. Because I mean, that's the unanswerable question. There's so many answers to that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. There's so many incarnations of that. I love Beth. I think Beth and I would travel. I think we travel very well together. I've done a couple festivals with her, and she's very, you know, she also, which will lead to one of the other answers. She's a girl that she likes to have a snack. That one she does. She loves a baked good. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
She would be down for like, you know, finding a good diner or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also just think she's so funny. And I just want to go to London because I don't get to perform in London very much, you know? And
have you performed in London?
I have a little, but not a lot, you know? So it's like, and then my brain, you know, immediately goes somewhere too. It's like, even though I know that, like, you know, you go anywhere, there are going to be expats that are going to watch us. But I'm like, you know, I don't know, something about London. I'm like, you know. It'd be fun because I feel like I know a lot of people there too, but I don't know that I know them, kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's a lot now, just in the years of doing comedy, there's a lot of people in
fantastic comedy community in London, and lots of Canadians, like all of us.
There's and lots Canadians, of Canadians always
all everywhere. Around the world, just
we
hiding
crop up everywhere. Our little gang of us.
Any comedy hotbed, Los Angeles, Sydney, London,
I do have to say though that one of the things that you said, that it's good to have somebody when you're on the road or you try, you know, like that shares the same whatever you want to eat, because it is like anybody can eat whatever they want, but you want to go to the same, like if you want to go to a place, you want to go with somebody that enjoys that. That it's not just
someone that's, because have you ever been on the road with someone that's all like that?
Yeah. Okay,
this is, I take this with a great, like when that doesn't want to eat out at restaurants. That's like, stay at the hotel, and then it's like, no, we're here. Let's go to,
Or they just don't need like, or it's got to be something very specific. And I'm in the middle of like, you got to eat, fried.
Whatever their specialty is. You know?
It's right. Yeah, it's right up there with like if a comic doesn't want to hang out afterwards, you take it personally. I
seriously, personally.
You're not going to eat with me. You're not going to hang out with me. You don't want
to. We're not going to do anything. I know.
Yeah. At least
like, I'm not saying 24/7, but like
lunch, breakfast,
hang out after at least one show together.
Yeah.
And then go do, you know what I mean? Like on a weekend, it's like.
To me that is like I've done the ones I've done, like the one in Lake Tahoe where you kind of stay almost like a week, or even like ones in Vegas where you stay a whole full week. It's like we don't have to be like 20, but at least hey, let's go have a lunch here day. We'll have dinner. See, let's have a drink.
I don't think people, or a lot of people, don't realize that. And I think they think it's so glamorous. No, it gets a little dull being on the road.
Of course it is.
You get a little lonely
because the only thing
you're waiting for is like 2 hours at night. Do you know? So the day, sure, you have one day to decompress and hang out in the room and sleep and whatever. But then after that, you're like, you want to hang out? It's just,
Also, like, it's very, like, I don't know how about you, how you relate to it on the road. Because for me, like, even though I can do stuff on the road, I still am like, I'm working. So I still got to prepare for my show. So like, it's not like, well, let me go hiking for 5 hours. I'm dead tired. I can't perform
that's
well.
Totally same with me. And I'm glad you said it because I feel like a lot of people, I was feeling a little shy to say that, but my thing is like, I am working. Like I'm not
working.
Do you know what I mean?
You need to be focused.
Usually, so let's say you arrive on Thursday, then you have your show on Thursday night. So that's the day you're going to like, I'm going to sleep and chill and whatever. Friday, you're almost always doing press at 6 o'clock in the morning. Like a evening. And then so it's like, if you're going to do anything, it's going to be Saturday. It's going to be your last day there.
Yeah.
You're just something, maybe, you know, go see a site on Saturday. But then other than that, it's just going to be like.
And that's it. Yeah. Like nothing.
And that's exactly. Because that's the thing. It's like, you're not on vacation. You're working.
Yeah.
I could never understand that. They'd be like, I'd be like, that's a 4-hour drive and I have to work. Like I have to be at the
club. Yeah. 30. I mean, I think that's the thing you do where like, if you're like, in your 20s and you have the energy of Red Bull, then like, I can fucking get up and do it.
No. There's a nap.
No, I got to take a nap. I got to shower.
I'm like, if there are two shows, I'm taking a nap.
That's also why it's so important
meeting the people. That's also that's another show. You gotta go like, hey, you know,
you're on until everyone leaves the club.
That's right.
And that's why it's so important to be working with somebody who you can get along with to keep each other entertained through the monotony. And if they don't want to entertain you through the monotony and they just want to go, then it's just, I don't want to work with you again.
It changes.
Like, I think it's fine. Like, it depends on the days. Like, if you're staying for a week, today I'm doing my own thing. But if it's like 2 days, 3 days, it's like, hang out. Come on.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, man.
Word agreement.
That brings us to number 3. Francisco, you want to fire away with that one?
Yeah, the question was, what kind of travel did you do as a kid for family holidays? And you said getting in the station wagon, wherever.
Station wagon.
Very vacation, very Chevy Chase.
So, exactly.
Yeah.
We always went, so I grew up in Tillsonburg, like we mentioned, which is southwestern Ontario. So, We always went to the place that our main vacation was in Maine. There was a town in Maine called Ogunquit.
In the U.S.
All the way to America.
All the way to America. But it was like, Ogunquit was called Vacation Land. It was a 13-hour drive from my house to the place that we went. And we went there probably from the time I was 5, until I was 18, we went every summer.
Oh, wow.
When we were little kids, we used to go and stay for 6 weeks. We'd take the whole thing. We'd rent a little house, you know, on the beach. And it was just, we had a regular spot that we went. And
how long did you stay?
When you say Algonquin, Maine, is that Stephen King's patch?
I don't know, but you know what's very close to? It's close to Kennebunk, which is where all the presidents would go.
Right.
Like that was a big, it was a big presidential area. When we were little, we would go and stay for 6 weeks. And then as we got older, we'd go for maybe 2 weeks and stuff.
Yeah.
But when we were kids, just pile everyone in the car and just stay for, it was wonderful. I love, it's still one of the places that I was like, I would like to go back to because it was so great as a kid.
I feel as a parent, they do the same thing happened to me. We always used to go to my grandmother's beach house. Like that was the thing. And I think they parents, they stick to one thing. They're like, fuck it. This is the day. And this is what we're doing for the rest of your life until you can.
And there was a place that we went back to over and over. We used to go to the Little Red House because that's where over and over. So it was the same place my dad would rent it. Year after year after year. And then I remember too, it was like, Maine is lovely, right? But it's like when we were young. So this is like, God, it's in the 70s, honestly. So my dad had the opportunity to buy a location and he did it. And it was something like he could have bought the Little Red House for $35,000. But he was like, no. Yeah. And then fast forward to when I'm 18. That already, and that's still in the 90s, that house is now $1.3 million.
No.
Yeah. I can't even imagine what it is now.
Oh my God.
3.3, it's just nuts. But it was
that would have been such a like, that would have been like let me just buy and forget about it and see if it happens.
Yeah, man.
Your sleepy little holiday town red house.
Totally, and then it turns into rich people hate that.
We had a comics house near the Olympic grounds in London. So in the early 2000s, me and a couple of, you know, wannabe comedians at that point, we all lived in this house, and the landlord wanted to sell it to us for 90 grand. And then 10 years later, the Olympics are in town, and I went and I saw it was for sale, and it was $900,000. And I was like, that's the house we stayed in as comedians. That's not worth $1 million.
But it just that makes you want to cry. Wow. $90,000. The Airbnb alone that you can charge.
Yeah.
And how many? How many siblings do you have, Deborah?
I have four. Yeah, seven people. We're seven.
So you were four in the same car, and
five kids. I have two older sisters. I have a twin sister, and then I have a little brother. I was always in the double back. So mom and dad. Three in the middle, and then me in the back, as we called it, the backpack. It was me and my brother always facing the wrong way, getting car sick.
So, like in the trunk part, like by the trunk?
Oh, yeah. Like where everything was short, sitting back staring.
That sounds like a Canadian. That's a Canadian family holiday, I tell you.
And did you guys sing any songs or something like that?
There was a lot of things. Games and like puzzle books and stuff. Like, but you know, this is 70s and 80s. This is way before anything.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Entertained. Oh, my God. Yeah. And not fight in the car.
No, of course.
You know, used to throw a lot of shoes from the front seat. Just to hit whoever it hit.
Yeah, man. Oh, well, that's cool. That's a big. I mean, we were in Nova Scotia. So, well, like I said, either we moved all the time, but we would always travel by car. And for us, that was the luxury of dipping down into Maine. It's America, everybody. We're in America, but we're barely in America.
Quebecers too. It was always like, that's where everyone went. Cause it was a good vacation spot. Not that far, you know, 13 hours. You go, oh, that's not bad. Yeah. Then try having like five kids in a car for 13 hours.
That's why I think as a parent, you're like, we're going to the same place because I'm not doing any new routes. And 13 hours with five kids. That's it. We're going back to the same place.
100%, man. It's that is great though. I love how there's consistency with Canadian comedians. I think that we're all none of us that were like, oh, our parents, they would fly us to the Poconos. Every Canadian comedian's like, we crammed in a car.
In the station wagon. Absolutely.
Yeah, you better work on your fucking sense of humor. I'll tell you what. This brings us to the big one. I mean, this has happened to all of us, I'm sure, so I can't wait to hear. But the question was, has an airline ever lost your luggage?
No.
And you were starting a tour. You were starting I don't remember how many days, but you were starting a tour and they lost 11-day tour.
And they lost your luggage. This was 2014, and I'll just toot my own horn. I am still, to this day, as of this moment, I'm the only woman comedian that Just for Laughs has done a nationwide tour for in their history.
Wow, that's awesome.
And congratulations.
Thank you. But here's the thing. This just shows you, just to remind us that we're not equal, everybody. Don't ever forget it. They decided to tour me across Canada in January.
Oh my. Who's making that plan?
They thought this is going to be great. It'll be the wintertime tour. And it was 2014, the year of a polar vortex. I flew and like the day I was just like, I'm never going to get out. We had two, I think I did 24 cities and two of them we couldn't even fly into. We couldn't get into them. We had to cancel because the snow was so bad. So it was just, and I remember too, it was really bad. Like so much had been canceled. I remember seeing on the news that like, the Toronto airport, Pearson Airport in Toronto, just became like a suitcase graveyard. Like it was just really. And I was like, one of those is mine. Like it was just. We started in the East Coast, and so like when you realize it's not there, it's just like, oh my God. Yeah. And you know, I'm a wise comedian. I had my carry on, but in my carry on, I literally only had one other shirt, like two pairs of undies, a little bit of, but just enough to like. You know, go one day without your bag. 11 days. 11 days.
So they lost like luggage and they never got it back?
Got it back. I eventually got it back. Like I was on, because the tour was probably like, God, it was It was just over a month. It might have been like 5.5 weeks. So I did, like, on day 12. And then I had, like, you know, an additional 30 days to be.
Got it.
But it was just like, my God, it was awful. And it was not even just like, but I was in the East Coast too. So I was like in a small town in East Coast Canada. So there wasn't even like, you know, and also too, like, I'm a big woman. I can't just go to any store and buy an outfit. I'm like,
you're not gonna come over. I love St. John's. I love St. John's shirt down at the souvenir store.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, that was, so it wasn't even just like I could just skip into somewhere and grab. So I wasn't. So, like, it was, you know, what I bought was like Woolite. Like, I bought like stuff to like wash my only shirt and my two pairs of every single night. So I was like, oh my God. And then trying to find toiletries. Oh God. It was just awful. It was
and
all so like,
and you already mentioned all my the hair fancy dryer stuff too.
Right.
If people listening, if they knew what comedians sometimes have to improvise in our hotel room, we're wringing it out in the sink, we're hanging it up, we're hair drying it.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, you're on a five, Miss D. Giovanni. Well, you're on a five. And you're like, hold on.
And I think that's the typical like things for a comedian. Like, it's like you get your, you know, you're gonna be headline first woman of JFL, but then you know, the luggage is lost, then you're like cleaning toilets, in your apartment. It's like,
just to keep you like, humble. Yeah, just everything to keep you humble. Like, you're like, oh, you're on your first tour, and it's like, yeah, but you're gonna be wearing the same flannel shirt every night. All the things.
Were the shows like where you do like one show and then move to the next city, or where you had to do
two shows? Yeah, it was like it was off. Like, it would be, we flew, like, there was a couple days where we'd be like, you'd have 2 days in the same town. And then it was pretty much fly every day. So that made it hard too, because then it was like, where are they going to send the bag?
Yeah. I know, but I was going to say too, at least they didn't see you with the same clothes, like
no.
Somebody comes in and is like, wait a second.
Yeah. She's not
using the photos.
Yeah. But yeah, let me tell you, the photos from that tour, the first 11 shows, same shit.
Well, you could say that's your uniform. That's your uniform.
Yeah, exactly. And I was touring with a dude too, so like he was no help. Like, I was like, what kind of moisturizer do you have? And he was like, so there's nothing yet. No help at all.
Wow, that's awesome though, to be like the first.
I know.
You know, woman in the AFL. That's great.
It was.
But next time they should just have it in the summer.
Next time I was like May, you know what I mean?
April, spring, or
January.
Fall. Yeah.
And then after they're like, we'll never tour anyone in January again. I was like,
thank you.
Yeah. How's it taken you into the 2000s to understand? How did you not realize this in like 1971 or whatever?
Wait a minute, when you started, you know what? Canada, it's snowy.
Yeah, maybe that's not the best.
Maybe not.
But the shows were great. That was good.
Oh, the shows were great. It was so fun. That's just awesome. The funnest, you know, because it's like, it's a very big difference of like, you know, who's on the show. And it's like, some comedian or like, you know, people coming because they want to see you.
Yeah.
Very big difference. You get the
benefit, like not the benefit, but like right away, as soon as you step on stage, they already know you. And you're like, I can.
That's it. It's almost like, You know what I mean? You don't have to convince them. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's just, if they could all be like that, that's what you would want.
That's the goal. Yeah. That's the thing. Like that. Yeah. Because for me, I mean, I still gotta go. Sometimes it's not even like the whole crowd is just like a little bit of people that know. They're like, I still gotta come, but I gotta convince everybody.
You gotta convince like 50% of the crowd. But you see, that's the same thing. It's like now, because you know, anywhere other than Canada, you know, then I have to like, who's this? Some girl, I don't know. But it's nice.
In Canada,
I can do that. So if you walk in the street,
like people go like, oh my God, there's Deborah. You know, like
you know what? Maybe not as much now, but there was a couple years where I was on a show, a very popular show in Canada. And there was, I'd say,
what was it called?
Like, it was called Video on Trial, and it was our MTV, and we just made fun of videos. Okay. And it was like, I'm gonna say like from, it was 2010, 11, and 12. Yeah, those were good years. Those were good years. Those were the ones where teenagers would run up to me screaming,
Nice. You know what else I was going to say about the snow? The, you know, having to get to gigs like this, because I've done Cape Breton in January and to drive all the way up there. But they that is what makes them great crowds too. Not that they wouldn't be great crowds in great weather, but the fact that they're so excited. That you made it through the shit show to entertain them. They're like, that's always the thing.
That's always the thing with small towns. Like when, you know, like when you're doing a tour and you go into some of the smaller towns, people are like, why do you go there? I'm like, they're so happy. There's a show. Do you know what I mean?
You go to
like not just the big ones. It's like you go to some place, it's like, it's huge. It's huge.
Because they don't get that much.
Yeah, they don't get a lot of stuff. You know? When there's an event, it's like, oh, an event that they don't have to.
Yeah, like,
you know,
they dress up for it. They mark it in their calendar.
Yes.
A big deal.
They don't have to drive and then get a hotel and whatever when it's their town.
Yeah, amazing.
100%, man.
Mm-hmm. I just want to say hi. A shout out to Samuel. He's saying, how are you, Samuel? Carol Casey. She's hanging. They gave us a lot of information, and then we got some questions.
Carol's a big typer. She's Carol puts a lot of info up there for all of us. We got big guns. So, guys, and I know see Sam's tried to. We got two more questions left that Deborah's answered that we're going to go through, and then we should have a couple minutes to hang out and get your questions answered. I see Big Guns got a question up there. And yeah, so any questions for Deborah, we will get to those in just a second, guys.
Yeah.
What one were we just talking about?
The luggage one. So now the next one.
Was that number four?
Yeah, so number five was what's your favorite recreational activity while on the road?
And you
mentioned going to restaurants or coffee or anything like that, right?
I love coffee. I'm addicted to coffee. So it's like, I love that, you know, when you go to, because there's always one little weird place, you know, that they're just like, they make the best. You're like, okay. And that's always where I want to go.
So,
and then you're right. Like, and if there's a town, there's always one spot in the town that they're like, oh, you just got to ask for Jimmy. You're like, I'm going to ask for Jimmy. Like that. It's like, because then you can mention it or so. Because again, it's like, it's not like you're not doing something too gigantic, you know, you're on tour, whatever. So it's always like a diner is always, you know, the easiest kind of thing and to relate back.
And you inevitably
see someone that goes to the show over the weekend almost every time. You're having breakfast, we saw you yesterday at the blah blah.
Yeah, 100%. It really strikes a chord with the locals if you can go. Yeah. I went down to your old coffee shack.
I like that too. He knows us.
It's fun to share it, to find new things too, because you know you don't want to go to the same like Cheesecake factory that you see
it's way better. Like there's one of my favorite places. I'm slightly obsessed with it, and again it's in West Coast Canada. It's in British Columbia. I can't remember the name of the town. I want to say something like Courtney or something, very like a small town, but my god, and the coffee is something like the coffee bug or something. And it's just like a little trailer that they've turned into this little coffee shop. And their whole kind of like the little kitsch is that everything is named, everything is X-rated names. So it's Donkey Punch Coffee. And their cups are, it's not small, medium, large, it's bra sizes. So it's B cup, C cup,
that's funny.
Double D. And it's, oh my God, it's, the coffee is so good. And the two girls, they, in the last years that I've been there, 3 years in a row, I think. I just keep, every time we go in, we're like, hi. It's two like these super sexy girls that are always like wearing like bikini tops. And I was like, hi. I'm like, yeah, all right. I know, I'm here for the coffee. And the boys
Where exactly is this coffee place again? Exactly.
It's the first time I ever had a coffee where it was, I had an American, because I was doing Americano. And it was, they do it where they run the espresso, but then they run hot chili flakes through the espresso, a squirt of dark chocolate in it. Oh my God. And I'm always just like an American, like your basic bitch, but this is, like, it's a little hot.
A little spicy right there.
A little spice. Like you're just like, I'm not going to like it. Then you're like, So good. So good.
So yeah, I was going to ask, like, how do you like your coffee? You say Americano.
Yeah.
I
was doing Americano with a little cream. Maybe it depends how strong it is. Maybe like a half a sweetener if I need it. But yeah.
So if you go to a country that doesn't understand Americano, what do you get?
Yeah. Then if you go to London, you have a flat white. Which is like they just, you know, it's kind of not a latte. It's like a stronger.
Yeah, it's like a little cappuccino, Australian.
Australia has a flat white as well. But like, you know, the Americano is a joke because the Italians made up the Americano because the Americans would come in, North Americans would come in Italy, and they would espresso
is too strong.
So that they would add water to it, and they nicknamed it the Americano. So it's an Americano. yeah, I know.
Right? So it's like a dig.
It's a diss. It's totally a diss. Yeah, it's like, oh, these idiots.
Americano. Just known for you, Americano.
Here's your little water. Put some water in it, Americano. Yeah. That's my drink. The whiskey drink is fine. What do you do? I bet you're an espresso dude.
I do. Yeah, I like espresso. No, yeah. But sometimes I like a macchiato, like a little bit a little bit of milk or a little bit of, you know, like with an espresso. Yeah. Like I like coffee, like small coffee, like I can drink. Yeah. I don't like drinking lots of coffee. I never.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Like an espresso, like you don't walk with an espresso. You drink it.
Yeah, right you drink then. It and you're, yeah, yeah you're drinking drink standing up yeah. like. Absolutely. Talking to the other Italians about
it's supposed
whatever.
To be, it's supposed to be drunk immediately as well. You're not supposed to let an Americano sit. It's got to go right in. Yeah.
When you go to like this Italian, when you go to like an actual Italian coffee shop, like one time I went to one and the guy like got mad at me because I was like, can I have it to go? He's like, yeah, to go.
There's no to go.
And I was like, okay. And then
you don't even sit down. Like you don't even sit down. You stand there and just. Shoot it and you're done.
And in Venezuela, that's kind of like that because it's a very Italian culture, like a lot of Italian people. So like that's how I grew up seeing people drinking coffee. It's like you go like the little like coffee shop and you drink it standing up and you drink it and you go to
walk. Out of a little tiny porcelain cup.
Nice. So yeah,
I can do an espresso, but I would choose to. I want to hold it and walk away with it. You know,
right? Yeah. I'm nowhere near that level of knowledge. I just do filter coffee in my kitchen, and I don't get coffee generally at coffee shops. I just go. I sometimes say Americano because it's the only easy word.
Are you not a coffee drinker though? Are you not like a big coffee drinker?
I drink. I don't consider myself a big coffee drinker, but I drink filter coffee here. Yeah. A lot in my little coffee machine that I've owned for like a year.
What's filter coffee?
Just a coffee maker. Yeah.
Since the quarantine started, I was like, okay, because we lost my little coffee shop around the street. It didn't make it. So I was like, all right, we're doing coffee at home. What do we do? So I did like a little poll, you know, online. I was like, what's your favorite coffee at home coffee maker? And it resounding, the winner was Chemex, which is that it's like a clear glass and it's got like the filter up, but it's a pour over situation. So it's got a big triangle top and then the bowl at the bottom, and then it's got its specific filters. And then you do a slow pour and it's a pour over. Probably like to make a pot of coffee rather than just like a drip, you have to kind of stand there and like do it. And it takes, you know, like 8 or 9 minutes, but God damn, the coffee's
fantastic. It's good. All right. Bam. I do that. Yeah. I have the Greca, you know, like it's a little thing that
yes. That's
more for I like that. That's what I drink. Cause it's like in between espresso because you can do a lot of coffee, but it's
calls it a mocha. He calls it a mocha because my boyfriend is Italian and he does it on the stove. And I remember that was like what my father used to do where it percolates on the stove. And it's his old thing. He travels with it.
It's great. I love it.
It's strong coffee, but it's not an espresso.
It's not an espresso.
Cup,
yes,
you
it's
get strong. A cup of coffee. Yeah.
Yeah, strong. Wow. Yeah. I like
you guys.
I
even way, have a
I know.
Way out of my coffee link. Way out of my coffee link. Oh,
what did you think about? What did you think about the Keurig things? The Keurig things.
I have to tell you, for like they're not bad though. For basic bitch coffee, they're not bad. Like in a pinch, like if you go to a hotel and they have a Keurig, I'm way happier than you know.
Oh no, that's great. Have you seen those?
Fantastic. Yeah.
Have you had the coffee from the hotels where like it's really like? I had it once and I'm like I spit it out. I'm like, what is this? Like it was like dirty water. Yeah.
If only I could tell the difference. I tell you what, once I, because I get the basic bitch, you know, store brand coffee from Ralph's. Yeah. That's what I use in my machine, in my rookie. And I did have to, they didn't have store brand left. I had to buy Starbucks brand, the package.
Yeah.
And I felt a bit zippy afterwards. I made some of the Starbucks. And I was like, oh, right. Oh, maybe there is a difference. Maybe there's a difference in coffees. It's not just dark hot water. So
you're all pissed up. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm slowly starting to learn the difference.
That's cute. That's very cute.
I was just very anti. I think, I mean, I just never enjoyed the coffee cafe culture when somebody's like needs that $4 Starbucks in the morning or whatever. And this is going back to dating somebody too, and you have to wait in their car. And you're like, I have to wait for you to get a fucking coffee. we could make it at home.
Yeah, Deborah's going like, yeah, you better wait.
Yeah, you're gonna have to wait, man. That's the way it is.
No, I think it's like anything. It's like wine or like beer. Like there's so many different kinds, and once you get a taste and you understand the taste,
that's the thing.
And then you go like, oh wow, then you can literally see the difference from some crappy coffee and real good coffee. Yeah. You know?
And I don't do anything else fancy. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm not fancy in any other way. The only thing that I'm fancy about is coffee. So
your
I'm
coffee,
like,
yeah.
You need to have one thing.
I think everybody should have one thing that's like, no, I need one to little, have. Yeah. I'm not gonna settle for crappy. I need one to have something good.
That tracks. I have a lot to learn. I have a lot to learn about coffee because there's nothing wrong with knowing what you're consuming when you're on the road, but it makes sense to upgrade,
especially on the road. Like it's like we need those little things to make us feel like okay.
Yeah,
like,
you feel at home.
Good,
like
at
you
home.
Feel like,
yeah.
I'm okay. Yeah.
It's like a pacifier.
Totally. Coffee flavor.
And then Deb's, our final question was very very straightforward. Of course, we were asking what your first big move was. Your first, because I assumed that I assumed your first big move was going to be from Tilsonburg to Toronto, but was that an easier move?
That was just college.
So that was just natural because that's the big city, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I didn't start comedy until I was 27. So like I moved to Toronto when I was 19. It was just la 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 for. Went to art school.
Did you ever wanted to do comedy before, or was that because I also started like around that same age?
It just didn't cross my mind. You know, also too, it's like I didn't watch comedy, like I didn't watch stand up comedy as a teenager or my 20s, because you know, like all the people that like I collected comedy albums, like honestly, like the first time I went to go see stand up comedy live was like 2 weeks before I was going to perform at that spot. Like that was. I never watched. I mean, eventually I watched some, you know, Robin Williams and whatever, you know, their specials and stuff. But I never did. And then, I went to art school, and then it was sort of like, I don't know, like I was never a class clown.
What was your job at that point? Because if you started at like 27, you were already in Toronto.
I was a receptionist.
Okay, a receptionist at
an advertising agency. I was worked in an advertising agency.
You're mad man.
A lot of fun. They were fun. It was always a good time because they were super casual. But it didn't strike me to do comedy until I would make my friends laugh and stuff, but I wasn't really, I don't think anyone even, or I didn't even know that I was actually funny until I moved out of my mom and dad's house. Do you know what I mean? Then it was like, moved to Toronto. I was like, all right, who are we? And then it turned out, I was like, oh, I'm very funny. And and then it was kind of started, and like friends used to go and say to me, have you ever thought of performing? And I was like, no. And it didn't, the seed was planted probably when I was like 21 or 22, that I was just like, oh, interesting. But I still was just like scared and didn't bother. Then I got a job at a TV station on a whim. And then I started to do tours. Yeah. Then part of the job was I did tours for the TV station. Like, so I would take like the seventh grade class around and be like, this is the newsroom, and like tell them, but then everyone hated it and I loved it. And then I became
like performing.
Yeah, I was performing. So seriously, my first performance was in front of like, you know, 27, you're like 10-year-olds. Just yeah. But then that started to happen. And then the TV station at the time.
Lucky
was like,
for that job, man.
Right? Tell me, fluke. Like, that was like supposed to happen, you know?
That's life telling you that you needed to
do. Totally. They were also like, they were really good about like letting people, what do you want to learn kind of thing. And then it was like, oh, the girl at the front desk is funny. And like, oh yeah. And so then I used to sub when someone would call in, because the music network was Much Music in Canada. Wow. And so then there's like in the archives from like 1994. I'm like, yeah. Hello, Sarah! Just, you know, Yeah.
Nice.
And so then like, that show that I worked on 10 years later, because I worked at that network.
Wow.
When they started the show, they were like, doesn't Deborah do comedy? And so then they just were like, do you want to do this show? And I was like, yeah, everyone else had to audition. And I didn't. So it was all very,
serendipity.
You know, yeah, serendipitous, exactly.
But it's like,
kismet, man. Yeah.
And this is like, so you were like, so at 27, that's when you actually.
That's the first time I got on stage. Like, I went to an open mic.
And that was in Toronto.
Yeah.
And you never like did anything theatrically?
Not through high school, not through college. I took, when I was thinking of wanting to perform, I took 2 years of improv classes and I liked it. I liked it, but it was like, I used to be like, oh, I'd be so much better if it was just me. Like I would have that. You know? I'd be like, this is great, but you're holding me back. And I remember asking my teacher, it's like, I really want to do stand up. And he said to me, don't, it's terrible. And then I was like, oh, okay. And then years later, see him and he's like, you made the right choice.
You were going, yes, and I'm better than you.
Yeah, terrible for you, baby.
But that exactly happened to me. I mean, it's funny because like the same thing happened to me. I never took any theatrical and stuff. When a lot of people start telling me I'm funny and stuff like that, and then I took an improv class, and same thing. I felt that I was good at it, but I did like it. I did wanted to do it. That's when I moved to LA to pursue improv. But then I realized that I couldn't find that people were. Yeah, I just my thing was like I didn't find people that were on the same page, and then I was like. Wait, I can do open mics for free and I don't have to, and it's just me. Yeah. And then that's when I first might move. So you said you moved to LA. Why was that your, like, with your career move? Like, you were from Toronto to LA?
Yeah, I went to Toronto to LA. So I moved in like my 14th year of comedy. Do you know? So was like,
You were like already established.
Headliner. Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, this is 2021 is my 21st year of comedy.
Yeah. You were established and you were like, is it the point that you got like, well, I did everything that I could have done here.
Yeah, that was literally it. Like in Canada and, you know, God bless you, Canada. Very good to me. Super grateful to Canada. But there really is, you know, there is a bit of a, it stops after a while. Mm-hmm. You know, only the one. I mean, it produces such good comedians. It produces such good television. No, that's not true. It has started recently producing good television. It wasn't always, but now it's like, no, serious. Like now Schitt's Creek and Letterkenny.
Schitt's Creek,
Kids in the Hall, like, and stuff like that. That's really, you know, changing it. And good music and what, but it stops at a certain point. You know, it just does. Like there was, you know, God, it's like, I think there's makes things now, do you know?
Yeah.
That actually creates content.
Yeah, it's harder to find our big audience, isn't it? That big, like the ceiling, like you're saying, the ceiling's lower. I mean,
Canada grows up on American television. That's the thing. Because it's like, most people watch them. Very few people are watching Canadian content, you know? So, so it was like, got to that. I'm like, okay, bye.
And did you move with a specific, you had a specific thing that you were here? Or you were like, no, I'm just going to move and like start from scratch.
Yeah, I'd had a working visa, like a performance visa when I did Last Comic Standing in 2007. So I got a visa and I just kept it. I was like, okay. So then I would get, like, I'd get little things. I did the NACA. I did some colleges, you know, for a couple of years, but then it was really, I came in like 13, you know, got rented an apartment, got myself established, went home, got rid of my old apartment, packed everything up. And then moved here, was like really settled in January 2014.
Right.
And what's that? Did you feel like you had to like I mean, obviously you didn't have to start from scratch because you've been doing it. But like, how was the process?
It wasn't like if it's the letter, I wasn't the first rung of the ladder, but I was only like rung three. Do you know what I mean? Like it was mm-hmm. it was definitely a little easier, but it wasn't, you know, because I moved at the time with only a couple friends were here. And one of them, who I'll tell you after, I know you both know him. He like even like he admitted, he was like, I thought this was going to be way easier. And I was like, oh yeah, no.
Right.
It's like, it was a little like the credits don't transfer. Do you know what I mean? It was kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
starting over. I mean,
I've been here for five
years too. So I jumped late as well. Of course, my career was in Britain. And I jumped late. I came here and I thought I do TV in Britain. I got, you guys will just put me on TV and then off we go. And then you get here and you're like, oh, right. Connections mean a lot. Don't we? I have to start over again. You want to see what my act is like? Nobody's asked me to see what my act is like.
Oh my God. Right? When I first got here and like trying to get spots at like, and we're not talking like hot tub. Do you know what I mean? Like we're talking shows that don't exist anymore, like shitty little where you'd go, there'd be like nine people there, and they'd be like, can I get some tape? And I'd be like, which special would you like? Do you know what I mean? It was like, and I would go and say, do you have Netflix? Because my special there. That literally was that. It was just like, oh fuck.
When you say tape, should I send you a VHS? Yeah. That's how my career goes back to VHS. So what do you want?
Literally. So that, but it was quicker. I mean,
it is quicker because you're already good. You know what you're doing. It's like,
that's the thing with Canadians, I think, is Canadians stay in Canada for longer. And then when they move here, they're honed. So when everyone's like, what the fuck is up with Canada? I'm like, it's because we've all been doing comedy for 12, 14, 15 years.
Yeah.
Then we move here and people are like, damn, very few people move to LA from Canada in their third year. Do you know? You can't get a visa in your third year. That's the thing. Exactly. They don't let you move. Yeah.
It takes us 12 years to build up the credits to be allowed.
You've got to have all those credits to be able to move. So it's not.
Yeah.
I wish you could have moved sooner. I'm like, you better marry an American because you're just showing up when you're getting here.
What's really funny is that you basically summed it up like you have to have all those credits in order to get to LA and be treated like you have no credit.
Like you're an amateur.
Yeah, that is.
I haven't had a day job since 2006. You know what I mean? Like I've been paid by comedy since 2006, and you get here and you're like, open mics, okay?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
yeah. It's tough. I mean, I started like just in LA, so like I never had that whole. I moved because I could have stayed in DC and like do the same thing that you guys did in Canada, but to me, it was more of like I need to move away from this life. Yeah. To like start zero because I can't like if I would have stayed in DC, I don't think I would have kept doing comedy.
No. Yeah, you make one move.
Yeah,
and that's it. Yeah, that's nice. That's lucky, I think.
Yeah. Now, Deb, if you have a couple extra minutes, Deb's like that brings us to the end of our questions, which were awesome. That was awesome as always. Knew you'd be awesome, and we were wondering, would you mind hanging out a couple minutes, maybe answer some of these questions?
I answer questions.
Awesome. I'm not sure producer Brian's waiting in wings, but I think I understand. I should have been doing this all along.
There's a question right there.
I just did that.
Oh, okay.
just to let you know, I could have been doing it all along, but I wasn't thinking to do it. So why don't we, let's start with My Gun Is Huge, who's been here since the start. So here's a question from him, which is, do you think LA has more opportunities than Toronto?
So many more. See, here's the thing. It's like, if you know, starting in Toronto was different because I had more opportunity to get on stage. So there was I had more stage time available to me in Toronto. Do you
know? Repetition. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like it was just, you know, not that there was as many shows, but there was just less comics. So I had way more opportunity for that. But moving here, it's like, there's just more opportunities in every other way. In just every other way, and all the writing, production, you know, acting, everything. So, but to like, you know, if a comic was starting out and you had the opportunity, I'd be like, yeah, start out in Toronto. Because in 3 years, you'll get more stage time in Toronto than you would in 7 years in Los Angeles. So
you need to be, like you say, you need to be polished first to actually
to be able to get stage time
and to use those opportunities that you get. Because if you're not, you can get those opportunities in LA, but if you're not polished, it's like gonna be like, all right, thank you, bye.
Exactly. It's gonna go away. Totally. Yeah. But hands down in terms of opportunity, though. Sorry, Canada. We love you, but yeah.
Yeah, I always tell them to go, like, same thing in Britain. I'm like, go to Manchester, whatever, get the stage time. But now, having said what we've just shared with each other, I would also encourage them not to wait too long.
Don't stay too long.
When you do feel that you're good and you feel that you can start, because it's the starting over again. You don't realize.
Everybody's different.
But all the walking around going, I've been going for 4 years now. Well, come to LA and you'll feel like you've been going for 4 minutes.
Yeah. And I do think too, like, if you're going to move, like, you should do it like when you're still semi young. Oh, you know what I mean? Because you need that energy, like right now, I don't know if I could do what I did back when
I'm exhausted. I'm so tired. Yeah. That would be the thing. It's like, you know, even if, I mean, again, it's different because I did start at 27. So it's like, but like, if you start comedy at 20, move somewhere when you're 30, 31. Yeah.
You still get that energy to do the open mics.
A midnight set. You're like, sure.
That's the fatigue thing, isn't it? You want me to wait till when?
No.
Guess what, Debs? We got you on at 12:45.
For three people?
I'm going home to bed.
No way. No. The only way I could do a 12 o'clock set is if I've already done an 8 o'clock and a 10 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
Then I could do a 12.
I got that adrenaline. 12,
I'm like, oh, it's never happening. It's never happening. There's no way.
Yeah, the worst is like you only have that one spot. It's like at 12:45. I'm like, oh, fuck. And then I'm like... I gotta fall asleep and take a nap and
set an alarm and totally.
This next question is by the same guy. But it still stood out to me. So Big Gun, you get two questions answered because I like your questions are crisp and to the point, man. Since living in LA, have you been starstruck by anybody, Deb?
That you met somebody? Yeah.
You know, and it's funny too, because it's not even comedy, which is so strange because, you know, I mean, although, you know, I don't even know if I've met, you know, sort of like real hero type, like, when I was, you know, backstage with Sarah Silverman, that was kind of fun. It was just like, Sarah Silverman. But the real one that got me was where I used to live. There's a little diner and Henry Rollins goes there all the time. And I'm a Henry Rollins fan. But here's the thing, not Black Flag, not anything. One of the reasons that I was just like, comedy, I saw Henry Rollins speak. He was doing that tour many years ago. And he was phenomenal.
Was he in a bathtub or something in that one?
This might have been like 1991. So when you like, it's like that little bit, I was like, and then years later, but it was maybe like 91 or 92. And it was just, he's supposed to talk for an hour and a half. And I think he spoke for like 4 hours. And it was like, it was funny. And it was like, it was heart wrenching. He was brilliant. And it was like one of those shows that you leave like, a little changed. And I wanted to tell him. So it was just like, excuse me, Mr. Rollins. And he was awesome and great, but I was really just like,
That's a good call. Cause I saw him about 16 years ago. And when I saw him, I was blown away that he could, because I mean, you see musicians, you see a lot of musicians who try to cross over. I'll be a comedian now.
It doesn't work.
But some of them have some skills to at least land a few lines, but he did a full, like to just have a full narrative spoken word show. I saw him in the early days of my comedy and I was just blown away by it. It was very impressive. You love the gossip too. A lot of the behind the scenes, he's talking about outtakes from movies and stuff that. So,
he told a story about how he was in a car accident in like Sweden or something. So he's at a hospital. He can't speak to anybody and he's been in the hospital, but he broke both of his arms or something. So the whole message was he hadn't been able to jerk off in like 16 days. It was one of those stories that it was so hilarious. Funny. It was just, we were just screaming. It was so funny.
That's great. That's a good question. Good. Okay. Henry Rollins.
Yeah. Cool. So I'm trolling through the Henry Rollins has a great special. It's great. There we go. So the big guns is replying to that one. Great special. Yeah. I see another question here. I've been sorry if I've missed anybody's questions, if they're lost in the things, but I don't know. There's a system here. When I had to search for this one as well, but let's go. Hey there, Francisco. Got a question for Deborah. Does she have a dream comedy festival that she wants to perform at?
Maybe like the New York Comedy Festival.
That's New York Comedy.
I'd like to be a part of that one someday, because that really only seems it's only ever, you know. So I'd love to be a part of that one. I mean, I want to say Edinburgh, but I got to tell you, I'm a little intimidated by Edinburgh. Like, I feel like that was terrifying.
I think you'd do great. I mean, I've never been there, but I think you'd be great.
I hope so. But it's just, it feels like a lot because you got to do, because you've done it.
I've done it loads. I've done it.
But it's hard 12. Though. It's a lot. Like, you're there for a month and you gotta do your whole everything yourself, and
you're there for a month. You don't have to do everything yourself, but if you're gonna get a producer and stuff, you should be careful. You should be wary of who's there to pinch, you know, who's there to charge you, because there's been times where I've gotten bills at the end of the Edinburgh Festival and I'm like, no, you didn't say $4,000 for lighting. At the start of the festival. I'm not paying $4,000. There was one time I had to go and find, so I said $4,000 there, but the number was $2,000 for lighting. And I had to go and find the other performers in my venue. And I found out that they were each getting charged as well. And so the total of eight performers each getting charged $2,000 each, and it came to like $16,000. And then I went and found out how much the lights were, and I was like, motherfucker. So you gotta be careful. So because it was like $2,000 total. And he charged everybody these individual. So you always have to be careful who you're in bed with at the Edinburgh Festival, but you will love it. The time flies. If you get the venue you love, and if you're working with people that you love, then it's just the best month.
It can be,
And you get choices too.
Always fun.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Anytime you don't have to travel, anytime you don't have to catch a plane.
Yeah.
You know, and you can hang out at the
and
bar.
And stick around for a month. That'd be kind of fun. Yeah. Get to know people.
Yeah,
we have this other question here from Warrior Chick Zuzi. I mean, I can't, if you want to look at it, but I'll just read it to you.
I'll look for Zuzi while you read
it. Is there anything you consider lucky, sentimental, that you have to take with you when you tour?
There it is.
That's a nice question.
Oops. Yeah, that's a great question, Zuzi.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I don't really have anything that's, I would say, lucky, but I definitely have sentimental. Like, I have a blanket that I was given when I was born by my grandmother, and I bring that with me wherever I go.
You bring it on the road.
Because it's just like, it's just, and that was, by the way, when I lost my bag, that was in my carry-on. Hello. So, but that's it. And then that's just one of those little, that's a little sentimental, just like a little thing.
Yeah.
I travel with whenever I go somewhere. So I mean, is it lucky? Maybe, but it's definitely something that
it makes you feel like at home. Yeah.
I don't think I've slept without it in my entire life. Like, not
so you sleep with it.
Life. Yeah. It's on my bed. You know what I mean? It's just there somewhere. You know what I mean? So hotels.
Oh, you don't like put it, or you just like,
sometimes I put a baby. Sometimes I tuck it in. Sometimes I tuck it, put it on my head. But,
you know, it depends on how you're feeling. That's what you need.
Depends on what we're doing. Depends on what we're doing. But But that is, it's like, you know, there's always been a moment where you know, boyfriends, where I've always had that moment where I'm
That's what I was going to say. They'll be like, this is going to be between us. These are my blankets.
It's just like, it's just the blanket. My whole life.
Yeah. No, that's a good, that's a very
that's
good
cool. Answer. That's cool to have some. I mean, I think it's always cool to have something to bring.
Something sentimental. Yeah.
And my thing is like, well, I always go to like, well, if I get stranded like in an island or something, at least I can use this to don't go crazy or something. I don't know. It's my Wilson. It's my Wilson.
Yeah, they're Wilson. Yeah. Totally.
Actually, Wilson is a box thing that he. I forget what it was.
No, Wilson was the volleyball.
Yeah, but he made it up. He made it. Like, he didn't bring it with him. He just
that one.
It was part of the crash. Yeah,
and he eventually lost it. I would never lose my blanket.
Yeah,
there you go.
Swim after it. I'd swim after it.
Right.
I think that was the last question, right?
Or yeah, I mean, another question. Yeah, that's been. I think. Yeah, I mean, I think that is the last question. I mean, it was a great question. Anyway, I think that's a good one.
Yeah, it's a nice one.
Great one to leave it on. You know, yeah. And you know, it's such a pleasure. We always, you know, this is the early days of our podcast, but we've been closing with one final question to our guests. Yeah. So before we ask you the final question, though, we just want to say thanks very much, Debs. It's
fun. This was nice to see you.
Yeah, top of our list, and we're so happy.
And let us know. Can you please let everybody know where they can reach you? They can find you. They can, you know.
I've had that's my Instagram handle there, and that's probably the best place. I'm a tweeter. My full name on Twitter, Deborah DiGiovanni. But you know, just recently, like what was it? 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago, we did last year in the summer Epics. I did one of those unprotected sets, and then it just came out like a week ago, 2 weeks ago on the Friday. Nice. And it's just a really nice little set. You know, it's like a little quickie 20 minutes, but they do some interviews. So, I mean, Epics is one of those ones that like you can sign up and get it for a week. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those you can just sign up for a free week. So sign up and get a free week because there's some really good stand up on there.
That's awesome.
There you go. If you're craving stand up, just sign it up for the week.
Just sign up for a week, watch a couple, and then get out of there.
Yeah, everybody. I mean, that's the thing. Just like I think with people that have done Showtime specials too, it's like just sign up for a week.
Just sign up for a week, watch it, then you're done. See you later, Sarkis. That's it.
I know. I always have to delete them. I always have to delete them that night as well. But I'm really happy if I delete them that night when it's the honorable ones, and you delete them that night, and it still says, "But you're good for another 2 weeks."
Exactly. Like you, and you're like, "Fuck!" Yeah.
Yeah, I should have gotten it already.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Deb. So our final question is really straightforward to leave everybody on, which is simple. What is a favorite piece of travel advice that you have hidden in the back of your mind or anything that you want to tell people? Like, you know,
always my favorite piece of travel advice is always dress on a flight like your plane's going to go down. Always be ready.
Your baggage is going to be lost.
Like your luggage is going to be lost and you're going to be stranded on an island. I'm sorry. Do you know what I mean? Like always have socks, sneakers, you know what I mean? Like comfortable clothes, a good bra, like all of that. I see women in high heels and I'm like.
Yeah, yeah. Like those guys like one going in flip-flops. Like guys in flip-flops. Like you're dying first. The plane goes down.
You sure are. And I'm not going to try and take it because guess what? Yeah. But you made your choice. But yeah, that's me. Always on a flight. I'm sorry.
You know what else is also great advice? That's also great advice because you can get an upgrade too if you dress better. You've just tipped somebody onto not only are you looking good,
but you'll also be. Upgrade.
Yeah, you'll also be eligible for an upgrade. So
yeah, I always dress like Leo DiCaprio on Titanic. You know, you never know. You know what I mean? I'm like
suspended. Oh god,
could be my big break.
You don't know.
Getting on this plane,
and I'm like, hey, sorry, Rose, I'm staying on this piece of board.
Well, awesome. Thank you. Thanks very much, Debs.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for joining us, and everybody, please follow and watch Deborah on Epics, her 20-minute special, and please follow her. And thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, guys. Good to see you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.